Let's go back to Psalms, if you will. And actually, we'll go back just a couple of Psalms before where we were this morning. I want you to look at Psalm number 93. Psalm number 93 is pretty short. It's not very many verses, just five little old bitty verses there. But there's a lot in it that I hope we can see a lot in it tonight. I'm praying that you'll get something out of it. Psalm number 93. We looked at Psalm 95 this morning, and we talked about worship. And as I mentioned to you, all of these starting in Psalm number 90 really lean that way. I mean, there's something about this entire grouping, especially up through Psalm 100, that gives you an idea and a thought and a heart into the worship of God and how that it ought to be that way. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes we just kind of, as I said this morning, we look at things and say, well, I've checked this off my list. I went to church, you know, and that's kind of the way that we look at it sometimes, that it's something to do. I'm talking about preachers and singers and teachers and anybody that has a function in the church. It seems like sometimes we just kind of, okay, I did that, and we just go on our merry way. But man, there ought to be something in our heart that gets supercharged when we think about who God is and how that we are made by Him and we are made for Him, and we are made to do some things for Him when our lives would align with those things in worship. So that's what the Psalms seem to have been talking about here in all of these things. And, you know, it's just a good insight for us to look at those things of worship. Look at Psalm 93, though. As I said, pretty short, not very many verses. Psalm 93 says, "The Lord reigneth, He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening, and thank you again for this chance to be here. Thank you for your words and for these things that will encourage us. Be a blessing now, dear Lord. I pray that you'd just give us your grace and give us your mercies and just bestow upon us the blessings. And let us be thankful that you have blessed us. And let us just rejoice in you. Be glad for all that you've done and how we recognize and how we realize who you are. Lord, we just thank you for being our God and for loving on us and for all the things that you have shown us. Would you just have your will and your way accomplished in this service tonight? Let us just give you the worship you deserve. If there's somebody here tonight, they need salvation. They need a closer walk with you. They need a place with you. Speak to their heart now. We'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right, I want you to look here at this, and let's talk about the God that is our King. The God that is our King. I mean, this is one of those Psalms, as I said, when you look at them and you begin to just kind of a compact statement, but it's talking about who He is. And as you look at this, if you look at the Psalm itself, as I said, just five little short verses, but in the first verse, it's almost like the psalmist is looking at an audience, or he's looking at a group of people somewhere, and he is just telling them some things about the Lord. He says, "The Lord reigneth." But then look, if you will, at verse number 2. It's like he's looking this way and saying, "I want y'all to know something about the Lord." But then in verse number 2, he turns around and he starts talking to the Lord. He said, "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." I mean, he's gone from talking to somebody else about the Lord to talking to the Lord. Then look in verse number 3. He said, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves." He's again talking to the Lord. He said, "I want you to know there's some things that are trying to rise up." But look what he says in verse number 4. He turns back around and he begins to talk to the audience and said, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." And then at the very end, he turns back around to God and he said, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." I mean, here's the psalmist, and he's talking to both the people and he's talking to the Lord. Now, he don't have to tell the Lord necessarily how mighty and how great and grand he is, because God knows that, right? God knows who he is himself. But the psalmist here, if it's David, we don't know. It doesn't necessarily tell us that it's a psalm of David. We don't necessarily know who wrote some of these. Doesn't matter. They're there, and they're there for our learning and for our encouragement and for our good, for our recitation in them, for our learning of them, for our giving them out. But, hey, he's saying, I want you to know something. Hey, we've got a God, and our God is the King. Amen? Our God is the King. As a matter of fact, when he's saying this, he starts off with that little phrase, and he said, "The Lord reigneth." Can I just insert this here for you? Guess who does all the ruling and reigning, even in this world? It's got to be somebody in that position of power. I mean, you may call it a president. You may call it a prime minister. You may call it a king. Whatever you want to call it. But I'll just tell you this. Our God is the King. Amen? Our God is the King. The Lord reigneth. I like that opening statement. I mean, it gives us something to build on. When you just read this, and, you know, it just looks like it's one of those little short things that you can sing, one of those little short phrases and short psalms that it just, you know, well, here's this. I mean, you even look at Psalm 100. We looked at that again this morning. We talked about Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that is made us, not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations." When you read those little psalms, you think, well, that's just a little brief something that they're saying. Hey, there's a whole lot of good stuff packed in there. Amen. And again, here's one of those little compact things. Just five verses, but there's some good stuff in it. I mean, this is a proclamation of God as the King. And sometimes I wonder when I read these, who needs to hear that? Well, I guess many times I need to hear it. Many times you need to hear it. All of us need to hear it sometimes, that our God is still the King. Amen? Can I tell you something? When I look around at this world and all the things that are going on in this world, how wild and how unusual and how out of sorts and how it looks like the devil's taking hold. And boy, I mean, can you not just see it and kind of feel it today? When you look around, does it not look like that, you know, the devil is just got people everywhere and they're doing all of these things and they're laughing and they're just having a big time. And you think, God, when is this thing going to get over with? And he said, "Don't worry, son. I'm still in control." Amen? And I think that's what this psalm should remind us of, that God is still in charge. Amen? I know sometimes it seems like the inmates are running the asylum, doesn't it? I mean, you look, as I say, just fear sometimes to turn your TV on. And you see how this is going on in this place. How, you know, there's children that are abused and people that are put down. And there are those that are in high places. And it seems like nothing ever touches them. And it seems like the wicked are gaining. And people are just money hungry and power hungry. And they're grabbing and snatching in this world everything they can. And you think, when will it end? But I'm telling you, honey, God's still on the throne. Amen? I mean, you just got to realize that. God's still in charge of everything that's going on. I want you to notice this real quickly with me. First of all, I want you to notice that the psalmist here tells us about our King and tells us that he is still the sovereign in heaven. He is still the sovereign in heaven. Listen to what he said. He said, "The Lord reigneth." Amen? The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? I want you to know, first of all, you see that he is the sovereign. I just want you to see that God is still the sovereign. The sovereign is the king, y'all. The sovereign is the one that's in charge. The sovereign is the one with the power. Listen to what he says here about him. He says, Lord, he said, the Lord reigneth. Listen, he's clothed with majesty. I want you to notice this. He didn't say he's clothed in majesty. He said he's clothed with majesty. In other words, it's not like a garment. It is not just something he can take on and off. It's something that is his. It's part of his royal character. I mean, our God, he is robed. He is a majesty embodied. He's a God that's just the majesty of all heavens. Oh, listen. Sometimes you and I put on that thought of a little God. You know, people get these things and they, I remember used to people have these little things on a spring that had a suction cup on them that was a Jesus, you know, and they'd put it there on their dash of their car and it'd sit there. And can I tell you, I mean, I know there's some good sentiment in that, but can I tell you, my God's a whole lot bigger than that. Can I tell you, my God takes up the expanse of the universe. My God is above everything. My God is the one that has made everything that is, and without him was not anything made that is made. Amen. I'm telling you, God, though, right here, he's sovereign. And in his sovereignty, you and I see that he is clothed in a certain way. That word majesty, it means his glory or his excellence. God is simply robed and coated in the things of glory, in the things of excellence. That is our God. That's the way that he is clothed. I mean, if you have to imagine, if you have to try to think of God and how he is robed, if you will, and in the heavenlies, thank God he's got on the majesty. There is nothing in this world that could ever compare. I guess many of you saw the things here lately on the news about how there were some people that broke into the Louvre Museum over in Paris. And they stole some of the crown jewels that they had on display over there. And they showed pictures of it and, you know, replicas and how they had made these things. And they were stacked with jewels. And they said these things are worth millions of dollars. And I'm thinking, wow. And there's some king that puts that on their head or some queen or whoever it was that wore those things. I don't know if y'all saw it here, whenever it was, last year, year before. And they crowned Charles, the king of England. And they brought out this big headdress, this big crown of jewels and all that stuff. And they put it on his head. And they talked about how many thousands of toward millions of dollars that thing is worth. Can I tell you, my God is clothed with something greater than every bit of that has ever been and ever will be. Amen. He's got on the majesty of himself. Well, preacher, who put it on him? Nobody. He did all of this clothing himself because that's who he is. Amen? When you look at him and you talk about he is the sovereign of heaven, I mean, you and I can see that his sovereignty. And his sovereignty is one of those things that is there through all eternity. He will be, he has been, he currently is, and he always will be the sovereign God of everything. You know what? They wasn't a time when he wasn't king. There is not a day today when he's not king. And there'll never be a day in the future when he's not the sovereign king of everything. You know, sometimes I say it seems like you and I look at what's going on and we think, boy, God must have lost some control somewhere. He hasn't. I just want to tell you, he has a plan. And you and I don't understand it many times, and we can't see. He's looking all the way down here and all the way down there, and he knows the beginning and he knows the end. Now, we don't. We're looking at this particular moment in time, and we're saying, boy, it looks bad. Can I tell you, there's always been places like that down through history. There was times when the world looked like it was on the eve of destruction. But can I tell you, God still had control. If you've watched the news here recently, I mean, they're talking about, oh, we're about to get into a big war over in Iraq. Iran, over in the Middle East. It's going to be, oh, we're going to have bloodshed and people are going to be all this stuff. Can I tell you something? God is not surprised. He knows what's going on in the Middle East. He knows what's happening in Iran. He knows what's happening in Israel. He knows what's happening in the U.S. He knows what's happening over in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all those other little places. He knows what's going on everywhere. Thank God he's in charge. He's still the sovereign God of heaven. Amen. It ain't caught him by surprise yet. There's nothing that's happened that he is not aware of. So, yeah, but you do see his sovereignty is eternal. Second of all, I want you to notice, and we can see his strength is eternal. I want you to notice what he says. He says there in verse number one, he said, he hath clothed himself with majesty, or he is clothed with majesty, and the Lord is clothed with strength. He said, wherewith he hath girded himself, the world is established that it cannot move. Amen. He said, God has clothed himself in strength. Where does God get his strength from? He gets it from himself. Isn't that amazing that you and I look at that? And man, I'm telling you, here it is. We see his boldness. We see his power. We see his might because he is the strong and the mighty God. And when God does something, man, he does it for eternity. Do you see that? He said he's girded, or he's clothed with strength. He's girded himself. And the world is established, or we say established, that it can't move. Boy, let me just tell you something. The earth is not going anywhere until God says, go somewhere. Amen? You ever watch those things? They send out the space shuttles and the rockets and the people in the outer space, and they always take pictures back of the earth. And the earth is just out here in the middle of nothing, in the middle of space, and it's just floating around. And it's turning at a particular speed, and it makes its trip around the sun in a year's time. We call it a year because of the trip there. I mean, and all of that fascinates us. Can I tell you, God takes care of it every day, and it's done by him. And you see what the writer says here? He said, God's done it, and God has made it so. The world is also established that it cannot be moved. Well, science has figured out, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, science ain't figured out no way to move the earth. You know why? Because God, in his strength, has placed it in its orbit. And it's not going anywhere until God says go somewhere. Amen? Nothing. What I'm saying is this. If God has some things that are just absolutely fixed. You and I can't change it. There's nothing that you and I can do to undo what God has done. Amen? I mean, listen, you see, this means it's his stability. He's got strength, but he also is able to give the stability of things in this world, and they cannot be moved. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, friend, that ought to give you some heart and some hope toward your salvation. Because if God does it, the world can't do anything about it. If God does it, it can't be undone. You know, there's a lot of people say, well, preacher, what about me being saved? Oh, I'm worried about that. Listen, if God does it, when God does it, it cannot be moved. You can't unfix it. You can't break it. You can't tear it up. Thank God, aren't you glad? Hey, that we've got such a God as that, amen, that we've got a God that is still sovereign in this universe. So first of all, you just notice from this little psalm that he is sovereign in heaven. But second of all, I want you to notice, again, the writer says that he sits on his throne in the heights. Listen to what he says here in verse number 2. He said, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. I mean, I want you to know this. He's turned around now and he's speaking to God. He said, God, your throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting. I want you to understand, God, as I said earlier, God is king. God's always been king, and God will always be the king. He is in time past, king. He is currently king. He is in the future. He'll be the king still. Oh, his throne is going nowhere. You'll never see a day when he'll get outvoted and tossed out of heaven. The devil got thrown out. But it was because God's on the throne, amen. He was going to take over. He was going to say, I'll be like the Most High. I will ascend above him. So I'll do this and I'll do that. Can I tell you, God kicked him out, amen. Why? Because God is the eternal one. God is the king. And God is still on the throne. God is sitting there on his throne in the heights of heaven. And nothing is going to take him down. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. I want you to notice this as you look at this. His throne, his place, is something that is fixed forever. God, his throne's fixed. There'll not be another king. There'll not be somebody take over. There'll not be a bum rush. There'll not be a false vote. There will not be somebody come in with a hostile takeover. There will not be a coup that comes in with a band of soldiers and said, we're kicking you out, God. Boy, I'll tell you, the world has tried it. The world has tried it for years. The world has tried it for decades. The world has tried it for centuries. Can I tell you, they can't make God move one inch. Amen? He's still king. He's still the king. His throne, he's fixed in this throne. And his throne is fixed forever. Now notice what the psalmist does here. He says, I want you to know God's throne and his position and his place is something that's fixed forever. But look in verse number 3. And he said, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. I want you to understand this, man. Sometimes the floods come. You know, the floods will come, and you know, not necessarily that we're just looking at the floods of water that you and I think of, but generally, whenever you see something recognized in the Bible as a flood, it is talking about the wave or the push of mankind, and generally, it's against God. Can I tell you, men have tried to bring this flood, and I'm telling you, God in his throne has withstood the flood of men. When he's saying this, he is saying something. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Sometimes, as I say, it looks like the floods of men, the things of men, the works and the ways of men has come against God, and sometimes it looks like they're winning. Do you remember back in your history books when you remember when after Jesus has died and the church is in its infancy, and just even reading in the book of Acts, the Bible talks about how that the kings and how that the rulers, how that the Roman emperors came against the church. And the floods of dissent, the floods of resistance, the floods of hurt came against the church. And they said, we'll stomp them out. We'll kill them. We'll drive them out of the cities. We'll push them to the extremes. We'll move them away. And we won't have to worry about that crowd again. Amen? Guess what? They were wrong. You know who they're fighting? They're fighting God. Amen? They're fighting God. And you get in a battle with him, I can tell you, honey, you're going to lose every time you fight against the power of the majesty of God. Men have tried to stomp that name out. They've tried to kill them. They've tried to put them in the lion's dens, and they've tried to wipe them out by massacre. They've tried to do everything they can. And guess what? Some other little old saint of God will pop up and say, I'm a standing for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Brother Larry's reading a book, and I've read it before, he's read it before, he's reading it again. And the story is about a fella over in China. He's called the Heavenly Man. And buddy, they put him in prison. They tortured him. They commanded him. They told him he'd kill his family. They'd take everything from him. All this stuff. You know what he did? He just stood up for Jesus. Woohoo, buddy, let me tell you. He made a stand. He made it through. And he got away from that stuff. Amen. He got out of those bonds and those prisons that they placed him in. Why? Because I'm telling you, he's standing for something that this world does not understand. The prince of this world, he's not the king, he's the prince. Because God lets him be the prince. The prince in the power of the air, which is Satan, he'll get the floods coming. He'll drum the floods up. He'll push the flood. I mean, it'll be like this. Listen, he said, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. Man, I'll tell you, men will lift up a flood of push against God. Amen? Oh, they tried to, you know what they did in the very beginning? They said, we'll build a tower up to heaven. We'll ascend up there where God is. And you know what God said? You're a bunch of foolish people. You know what he did there at the Tower of Babel? He confused their languages. Amen? When I'm looking at the other, he said, pass me a brick, William. But when he said it, William's like, what? I don't understand that. What did you say? And they couldn't understand each other. And they couldn't nobody work together. And they couldn't nobody get along. They couldn't nobody get what was going on. You know what? God said, just rise another flood up. I know how to put her down. Amen? I mean, listen, you can think about anything you want to in any time of history. Do you believe when the Jewish people came along and were massacred in the World War II? And all these folks, and I mean millions of them died. But can I tell you, they're still around today. How did they get here, preacher? It's by the power and the majesty and the fact that God is still the king and he's got a people and he's going to bring them through and they're going to see him eye to eye one day. Amen? I don't understand it every time. I don't get it every time. But I'm telling you, hey, God still knows what he's doing. The floods of men, they can rise up. They've lifted up. The floods have lifted their boat. The floods are lifted up on waves. But look what he says in verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The floods might lift up. And the floods might look like they're going to be there and make a push. But can I tell you, the finish of this thing is always this. Men may come. Men may go. Men may howl and yell and try and fail. But to overcome God, there's no avail. Can I tell you, you'll never push him out. You'll never overthrow him. You'll never get beyond him. You'll never get even up close to him. Why? Because the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, this world makes a flood. This world makes a noise. This world makes a big to-do about stuff. But can I tell you, God said, just keep on talking, y'all. I'm about to wipe you out. Amen? Pharaoh told his army, why have I let those Hebrew people go? Why in the world? Let's go get them. And as the Egyptian army begins to chase the children of Israel, led by Moses, and God told Moses to go get them, he's leading them out away from the land of Egypt, and they come upon the Red Sea. They come upon the Red Sea, and they're there, and they're like, oh, no, what are they going to do now? Do you realize this? When they got to the Red Sea, if they look to the right, there is a mountain to the right of them. If they look to the left, there is a mountain to the left of them. In front of them lies the Red Sea. If they turn around and look behind them, it's the Egyptian army coming after. And they're standing there, Moses, what are we going to do? And Moses looked at them and said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what happened? God told him, he said, you pick up that rod that's in your hand, stick it out, and God caused the water to push back on both sides. and he caused a wind to blow through that night, and it brought some dry ground, and then God said, everybody go through. They said, yeah, but the Egyptians are behind us. He said, I'll take care of them. Y'all just go on through. They got through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians said, well, if they can do it, we can do it. God said, come ahead, y'all. They walk out into the middle of that thing. When they're out in the middle of it, in their chariots and in their mighty spears and armament and everything as a big, bad army, God looks over and he says, hey, this side, come down. This side, come together. And you know what God had told Moses? He said, from this day forward, you will see them no more. And you know what? They got out on the other side. God closed up the water, and Moses said, let's sing a song. And they sang about how that God had overthrown the rider and his horses. Woo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you know that kind of God? I mean, he's still the same God today. Oh, the floods of men, the floods of problems, the floods of issues in this world may come. But I'm here to tell you, honey, as he said there in verse number 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. They can do whatever they want to. You and I just simply have to remember, hey, we've got a God, and he's still on the throne. Amen? All right, look at one last thing with me, if you will. Notice that very last verse. He said, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. I want you to realize this, that he is steadfast in his holiness. I want you to know that we serve a holy God. You see that? We serve a holy God. If you look in verse number 1, look what it says. It starts out with God in his highness. The Lord reigneth, and he is on his throne, it says in verse number 2, thy throne is established. Hey, God's on. We see God in his highness. But now, at the end of this psalm, you see God in his holiness. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness, he says, becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Oh, I want you to know this. As I said, he's just steadfast. God is steadfast in his holiness. That means God's not changing his mind about his holiness and about what he expects from me and you as far as us being holy. But it does tell us some things we can count on from him in his holiness. First of all, let me tell you this. You can count on God, and he's got a blessed testimony. He says, thy testimonies are very sure. You know what that means? First of all, it means this. You can trust him and his word. Thy testimonies are very true. Whatever God tells you, you can trust him. You know, there's sometimes, and I'll be very honest with you, I see some of these people throughout the world, and even in our own country sometimes, that are our people that are in the political power. And listen, I've heard them say stuff, and I said, I don't believe that. I don't think I can trust that. I don't believe that that's going to happen as they've said it is. And you do too. Oh, I don't think you can trust them as far as you can throw them. Amen? Isn't that about right with our political folks today? There's many throughout the world, and they'll make promises, they'll sign treaties, and the ink doesn't even get dry, and they've broken those promises and those treaties. But can I tell you, the psalmist said, look, God, your testimonies, whatever you say, is very sure. You know what that means? That means you can trust him. When God tells you something, you can trust him to see it through. I don't care what's coming your way. I don't care what's happening other way. Brother, I'm telling you, his testimony, his words, his promises, everything that he said, it's all true. Amen. It's all true. He is the one of truth. Amen? I mean, listen, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas was asking about, you know, when he was talking about getting to heaven there in John 14, and Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. We don't know nothing's going on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know what I take out of that? There ain't but one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Himself. Your salvation is tough. Can I tell you, God's testimony is true. Oh, well, preacher, I believe that if people do, I don't care what you believe. It don't matter what I believe, what I think, how I theorize, how my theologies are. Brother, He's the one of truth. Amen? And God's Word is truth. Jesus said that in the Gospel of John, chapter number 17, when He's praying in the garden. Verse 17, He says, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Can I tell you, His testimonies are sure. But not only are His testimonies sure, I can tell you, you can trust Him. You can trust Him and His Word, but you can also trace Him through His work. Look what He said, Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house. You can tell how God is working down at His house. And you know where His house is nowadays? It's us. And when God begins to work in us, I'll tell you, He'll work through holiness. God's not a deceiver. God's not a liar. God's not a promise breaker. God's not trying to pull the wool over. God's not trying to do something on the sly. God, as we said, is truth. And brother, you can trace that truth because He is holy. And it said you can find that holiness in His house. Sometimes we like to think about this building. In that day, they probably thought about the temple of worship. But I'm telling you, today, the tabernacle of God is where? With men. He's on the end. God said He wanted to come down and He wanted to dwell among and inside each and every one of us. That's where God wants to be today. And brother, can I tell you, you can trust Him and then you can trace Him. Hey, you can tell folks it's got plugged into God, can't you? You'll find somebody, and you know what? They got some of that holy living. They got some of that right talking. They got some of that right looking about them. They got some of those things that have ways that please God. Oh, aren't you glad of that today? That you can trace God in this world today. God is in the truth. God is in the things that are righteous and holy and lovely and good and pure and of good report. Those things are from God, amen. Those things are from God. Boy, there's a lot of folks. I mean, there's a lot of hocus pocus and a lot of junk out here in the world today. Don't trust it. Do not trust it. Don't count your eternal soul on some shyster out here that's after your money or after you as one of his numbers. You better trust God and just get, you can trust God. Amen. I'm just telling you, you can trust His God. His testimonies, He says. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. You can trust Him. You can trace Him. But let me tell you this, more than anything, the best thing you and I can learn is we need to learn how to tremble before Him. We need to learn how to fear God in our day. Why should we fear God, preacher? Because the King, the Lord, reigneth. He is still the sovereign, and He is one to be feared. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, run around scared and work, but I'm talking about have a reverence. I mean, listen, what was it this past week? President Trump was down below us in Rome, Georgia. There was people lined up. There was people that just wanted to get a glimpse of it. I mean, they just wanted to, you know, be within several hundred yards or whatever. They wanted to be, oh, you know, I got to see the president. Can I tell you something? You and I can be in the presence of a holy God, the God of this universe. And man, we ought to be in an awe and a respect and a reverence of Him and who He is in His holy place. God is our God. And man, when we come in before Him, we ought to be like Isaiah was. I was talking about this morning, Isaiah chapter number 6, where he said that when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said this. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I ain't worth nothing of being in the sight of God. Amen? And you're not either. But can I tell you, He wants you to come and come boldly before Him and worship. He wants us to come and be, the Bible says here about being the sheep of His flock, the sheep of His pasture. He wants to love on you and take care of you and do for you. And isn't it amazing, as I said here the other day, isn't it amazing? The God of all heaven will take time out from running this universe, running the world, running everything. When you cry and say, Lord, it's one of your little children down here and I got a need. He says, I'm coming right there to be with you. And he comes down and he visits your heart and he visits my heart and he visits with us to give us the peace and the assurance and the blessing that only comes from him. You know what I say? Let's just praise him for that. Amen. Are you praising him tonight? As I said, it's something we ought to be doing. We ought to be fearing him. I mean, listen, we got to learn to tremble before him. When all the wondrous things that he does, we ought to look up and just say, what a God. You know, I've heard a preacher say this, that, you know, sometimes people have come to a church service and they'll be in, you know, some big way or whatever in the church service. People will go out the doors and they'll say, what a church, what a service, what a sermon, what singing. You know, they talk about all those things. And one of the old preachers said, oh, please don't say that. He said, I want somebody to go out of these doors and look up and say, what a God, what a Lord, what a Savior is my. It's not what we do and what we say and what you think about, you know, the songs. And that's good, that's nice, and that's wonderful to have those things. But more than anything, we ought to see him. And you ought to see that he is the King. He's the King. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's...